Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been a long service already today, and it's not even over yet. So many things going on. Palms, palm branches, a procession around the church. This long Passion history reading that brought us all the way through those bitter, sweet 24 hours during which the world's redemption was fully paid for and earned. We still have a little sermon. We still have a rite of confirmation and other things going on in our service. With so much activity, with so much history, so much divine truth laid out before us today, what should our confirmand, what should all of you remember above all else about today? Remember Jesus riding on a donkey. You may well remember all the events that surrounded Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. You may remember all the groups of people that there were in Jerusalem and outside to meet Jesus on that day. All kinds of people. The ignorant or indifferent people. Those who somehow still hadn't heard of this Jesus of Nazareth or didn't care about this Jesus of Nazareth who was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. You had the haters who knew Jesus' teaching, who knew his claims about himself, and wanted to see him dead. Then you had the false followers, those who didn't really believe in him, but were attracted by the glory and the adventure of this procession, of this prophet, this miracle worker and preacher. You had the fickle or fair weather followers who believed in Jesus for now, while things were going well, but who would be the first to leave him when things started going badly. And finally, you had the devout, the devoted followers of Jesus, including his inner circle of 12 disciples, those who had followed him through good and bad, those who loved him and worshipped him as their king and as their savior, those who trusted in him as the Christ to free them from their sins, some of whom eventually would lay down their own lives as martyrs, witnesses to the gospel of this Jesus who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey on Palm Sunday. Now, the last three groups mentioned here were there on that Palm Sunday, spreading their palm branches on the ground and their cloaks on the ground for Jesus' donkey to ride over. They were there singing well-deserved songs of praise to Jesus. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Come and save us now. But if you were paying attention throughout that whole Passion history reading, you know that in the end, by the end of this week, the five groups of people were combined to just two groups of people. Those who hated Jesus and wanted to see him dead, and those who loved him for a while, until something else got in the way. Those who openly hated Jesus wanted to see him suffer, and they got what they wanted. The rest, the false followers, the fair weather followers, the devout followers, didn't want to see Jesus dead. But neither were they willing to suffer with Jesus or for Jesus. As for that inner circle of most devoted followers, his 12 disciples. One, Judas, betrayed him into the hands of his haters. One, Peter, denied him three times. And all the rest ran away and abandoned Jesus in his darkest hour. Those were his closest friends who loved him until something, until their comfort, their safety, their very lives got in the way. We have the same groupings of people in our world today, the exact same. You have still ignorant or indifferent people who don't know who Jesus is, or at least don't know his true gospel, either because no one's ever told it to them or because they just haven't cared enough about God to look into it. You have the haters of Jesus still, plenty of those. Wasn't there just an atheist rally in Washington? Some 20,000 people showed up. They still refuse to acknowledge their utter sinfulness and their utter hopelessness. They still refuse to accept that Jesus is the Son of God, and they refuse to believe in him as their Savior. You still have the false followers and the fair-weather followers and the devout followers of Jesus. And guess what? In the end, the most devout followers of Jesus here today, those who are in church every Sunday they can possibly be here, those who are always looking for ways to hear God's word and serve their neighbor in love, the most devout followers of Jesus are at best as devout as the 12 apostles were. Just as prone to stumble, just as prone to fall when it gets really hard to follow Jesus. Which is why I told you at the beginning of the sermon that what I want you to remember about this day is not the different groups of followers of Jesus, but Jesus, riding on a donkey. Jesus, who knew where that donkey would be without having to be there or see it, because as the Son of God, he knows those things, and could tell his disciples where to go and find it and what would happen when they did. That Jesus, who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and knew where it was, knew the people surrounding him too. He knew who was waiting for him in Jerusalem. He knew who his followers were, the false ones, the fickle ones, and the devoted ones. And still he got up on that donkey and he rode into that holy city, knowing them and knowing you, knowing who would be in the world that day and on every day since. He got onto that donkey and he rode, and he wouldn't be stopped. He had an appointment with a cross. He had a baptism to undergo, a baptism of soldier's spit and his own blood. He wouldn't turn aside. He couldn't turn aside. He couldn't stop. He had to keep riding into the holy city. He had to keep riding into Jerusalem to face all that he would face during that week. He had to do it for the sins of all who hate him and for the sins of all who love him only a little. He had a world to buy back out of slavery to sin, death, and the devil. He came riding in lowly majesty, humble, gentle, having salvation, the prophet Zechariah says. He came humbly because he knew that as he humbled himself and made himself obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, he would accomplish the very saving act that would be preached among the nations, that would turn some of his haters into believers, that would call back Christians who had strayed back to repentance, back to faith in him. He would accomplish there the very act that would make payment for the sins of the world. And through the preaching of that act, some would believe and be saved. And one day, Jesus will ride in on the clouds, as he told the council. They will see the Son of Man sitting on the clouds with power and on the clouds with power and great glory. When he comes on that day, he will rule as king with an iron scepter, the scriptures say. On that day, he will devour his enemies, all who refuse to repent of their sins and trust in him. But until that day, King Jesus still comes riding in on a humble donkey. Until that day, Jesus still comes riding in having salvation, lowly, gentle. You know the donkey that he rides in on. We've said it all the time, every week, every year when we get to this text. Jesus comes today in the preaching of his word and in his holy sacraments. He comes with salvation for those who have hated him and for those who have loved him and those who have loved him a little. And his message is the same to all, no matter what group you're in. Repent and believe the good news. Because as long as this gospel is preached, as long as there are pastors handing out the absolution and the body and blood of Jesus in the sacrament of the supper, Jesus is riding humbly, as if on a donkey, to bring salvation and the forgiveness of sins to all who look to him for it. Now Jesus rides on a donkey. Now he rides in with salvation. Miss Dana, today you'll be confirmed, and you'll make some promises before God and before this congregation, the same promises that every communicant member here has made, either as a youth or as an adult. Very serious promises. To hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully. To live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death. To continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it. Now, as history has shown here at this church, throughout the whole world, and throughout all of history, not all remain faithful to those promises. Some fall away. May God keep you faithful to those promises, Dana, which doesn't mean that you won't sin. Far from it. Faithful means living each day in repentance, in contrition and faith. Faithful looks like confessing your sins and receiving the absolution. Faithful looks like gathering with the Lord's people in the Lord's house, around the Lord's table, on the Lord's day. But if you should ever be less than faithful, if you should ever walk away or run away from Jesus, then Dana, you remember this day before it's too late. You remember this Palm Sunday, the day of your confirmation, but I will not tell you to remember your promises. Don't remember your promises. Promises are rather useless when they come from us. Look at Peter. Look at all the apostles. They made big promises on Maundy Thursday. Even if all fall away, Jesus, I never will. What promise has ever been broken more quickly than the promises of Peter and the other disciples? That's what always happens when we put our faith in our promises instead of in Jesus and his promises. So, Dana, I will tell you, don't remember your promises. Remember Jesus riding on a donkey. Remember Jesus riding in to suffer and die for haters and for runaway followers. Remember Jesus and the word of peace he spoke to his disciples after he rose from the dead, the word of peace and forgiveness. Remember also where to find this Jesus riding in on his donkey find him where he says he'll be, in the preaching of his gospel, in the sacrament of the altar. And whatever you do in life and wherever you go, remember Jesus riding on a donkey, bringing salvation to sinners. Even if you forget everything else, don't forget him. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.